Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. This is John the Baptist's words, and we're reintroduced to John the Baptist on the second Sunday of Advent, which is fitting because Advent is the beginning of our church year. And with John the Baptist, we're sort of given this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And it's a signal to us to get back to the basics, to repent, to turn our life away from our own path and turn back to God. John the Baptist is very clear about his role, and it is a God-ordained role as a precursor to Jesus to prepare the way. For one who is coming is greater than I, and I am not even worthy to carry his sandals. But John the Baptist plays a very important role. He is preparing the way for Jesus to come, proclaiming to the whole region, and they all come out to see him, which is really, really amazing. In some ways, John the Baptist is far more effective as a prophet than many in the Old Testament. The history of the Old Testament prophets is mostly they're ignored or they're run out of town or worse. Here, John the Baptist stands in the wilderness, and make no mistake, John the Baptist was a strange fellow. He's got his camel hair vest and his eating locusts, and he's out in the wilderness, and he's shouting to the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." If you saw this person on your street corner, you would go the other direction. But the people in Jerusalem and Judea and all in that region, they come to see John. They see that something powerful is happening, and that the promises that the previous prophets, and today we heard from Isaiah, this vision of what God's kingdom would look like, peace between people, peace between the predator and the prey, that this promise of God's kingdom becoming a reality, John says, it is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Now, another way to translate that passage in verse 2 is the kingdom of God is at hand. Think about how that one word change can make a difference in our understanding. If the kingdom of God is at hand, you would say it's about time or space. The kingdom of heaven is near is about time. You know, it's like coming soon. But at hand means it's right next to you. And I think that's, in my way, a better understanding of what John is trying to say, is that it's happening now. You've been waiting. In fact, generations have been waiting for the Messiah to come. And John says, it's here. So get ready. Repent. Get your life in order. And as I said, it works. People come to John and they're baptized, confessing their sin. They're baptized in the River Jordan, and they're taking a new start in their relationship with God. And it says even the Pharisees and the Sadducees show up. Now, you would think that John would be thrilled. Right? Not only are the ordinary folks coming to see him, confessing their sin and being baptized, presumably meaning that they're ready for the coming of the Messiah, they've got their house in order, but even the religious leaders, who we know in all of these gospel accounts are the ones who have the most to lose by the teachings of Jesus. Their place and their positions of authority are most challenged by Jesus. But they too are coming. I would think that John the Baptist would go, great, my message is being received. Even the prestigious religious leaders are coming out to be baptized because they can see what God is up to, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Does he say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, welcome aboard. I'm so glad you're with us today. And would you like to be the next to be baptized? No. He says, you brood of vipers. Do not presume that because you are a child of Abraham, that you are aligned with the ways of God. John could see directly into their hearts, and that these Pharisees and Sadducees came not out of a contrite heart that's truly trying to be ready for the coming of the Messiah. They were there because maybe they were curious. They were there maybe to undermine in some ways what John was doing. And so John sees them and calls them out, you brood of vipers. And then he makes the point, he says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, when we confess and when we do that from our heart, what follows is good fruit. That our very lives produce goodness and mercy, justice and peace. The very things that the prophet Isaiah talks about that the leader, the Messiah, will do, that we participate in that work in the world. That's what it means to bear good fruit. And John is very clear with the Pharisees, Sadducees, and anyone else who might be going through the motions, trying to look good before others rather than having their heart really focused on aligning with God's purpose. You cannot fool God. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. And any tree that doesn't bear good fruit, the axe is at hand to chop down the trees. Now, I was really struck by this image of the axe and the tree and chopping down things. And I have to say, I'm an experienced lumberjack. Do we have the proof of this? I was an early protege of woodsmanship. There I am. I really like my hat pulled down. But you can see I have a nice saw in my hand. I was out clearing brush at age 6, I'm guessing. But this image, I just thought that would, you know, give us a cute factor for the day. But I was really thinking of a passage, John 15, which really Jesus comes back and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Think about this. No matter what, if the analogy here is being a tree that bears fruit, if you are a tree that bears fruit, what does it say? He removes every branch that bears no fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So that part of us that bears no fruit is removed. And the part that does gets pruned. And for those of you who are gardeners or woodsmen like myself, you know that for a bush or a tree or to be healthy, it needs regular attention. And that the worst thing you can do is nothing. Because with that pruning can come new growth or even more vibrant growth. And so spiritually, there is a process, and Advent is the time for us to come back to the basics, and that's what John is encouraging. And that spiritual process of self-examination. How am I bearing good fruit in the world? And what parts of me are dead? What parts of me need to be removed in this season of my life? What are the parts of me that I can set aside because it's no longer serving my relationship with God and my love of neighbor? And then how can we nurture and strengthen the parts of me that are bearing good fruit? And it's true that when a tree or a bush is pruned, it's painful. None of us would volunteer to be sheared. But life has a way of doing that to us. The truth, of course, in this passage from John is staying connected to God. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. God has a way of cultivating within us when we stay connected. When we're staying connected in our faith to God, God will shape us through our experience and our lives in a way that help us to bear fruit worthy of repentance. And so John the Baptist says to those performing or pretending, "You brood of vipers, the axe is at hand." Now, in Isaiah, this vision, this messianic vision, talks about the stump of Jesse. This is a connection to King David because the Messiah is to come from the line of David. And out of the stump, so the people of Israel, by the time you get to the book of Isaiah, this is 500 years or so before Jesus is born, they're living in exile. The Babylonians have come and conquered them and then displaced them. They're living in exile. And it's like the whole tree of Israel is cut down and all that's left is a stump. And from that stump, from that pruning, from that seemingly destruction, a shoot, a branch, a righteous branch connected to Jesse and to David shoots up. That out of death comes new life. Out of setback comes new possibility. And that the former ways which led them into exile had become misguided. And it was time for a new beginning. And out of the stump comes a shoot. And that the righteous one would come, mighty, powerful, but righteous, with the heart for the poor and the weak, so that the lamb would lay down with the lion, and the child could play with the snake. And the lion and the cow, there'd be peace among not only God's people, but all of creation. Advent is a time for us to start new, to seek peace between God and ourselves, to seek peace between neighbor, to start fresh, to repent, and to see that God is among us, to bear fruit worthy of repentance. To bear good fruit, love of neighbor, kindness, compassion, generosity. All these things come from within. And when we stay connected to God, even when we go through times of pruning, we bear good fruit for today and for tomorrow. Amen.